Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Oh, I was warned about her love. But like a fool, I went on. Whether they're right or wrong, at least the mystery.
It's Robert Cray bringing this back, my favorite blues man. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Cliff Inico, attorney, small business attorney, author of the book, The Crowdfunding Handbook, which is his new one, and also several eBay books, including the eBay Seller's Tax and Legal Answer Book. Hey, Cliff, thanks again for being here. Succeedinginyourbusiness.com, right?
That's me.
That's your website.
That's
so,
where
okay,
I live.
Cliff, we went to the break. We were talking about conflict resolutions, especially among families. You had some tips.
Yeah. Here's a couple of things to consider that are a little bit creative. I'm going to give them very cute names. I'm going to call one the Golden Rule buyout, and I'm going to call the other one the Time Bomb Clause. That's the best way to remember them. Let's talk about the Golden Rule. What's the Golden Rule, Jim? You know it. You know,
do unto others.
I'm taking you back to Sunday school here.
Do unto others
as you would have others do unto you.
Yep.
Basically, it's something called a Golden Rule buyout clause, and it works very well in 50-50 situations. If you get into a deadlock where the two of you just simply can't agree, basically what one of you does is you talk to your accountant, you put together a proposal, and you say, I will buy your 50% of this business for, you know, X dollars, you know, payable over so much time, you know, so much a month, whatever. Now, he then has, and you send this to him, now he has a period of time, usually it's 30 days, to do one of two things. He can either accept your offer, in which case you buy him out and now he's gone, the company's yours, so you got to pay him out, or he can turn that back on you. If he feels that he's being lowballed, if he feels that you've underbid him or something, he can take that same offer and cram it down your throat and say, no, I'm going to buy you out, but on those same terms.
Mm-hmm.
Same purchase price, those same terms. Hence the name Golden Rule. You know, it puts pressure on the first person to make
right.
the offer a fair
well,
one,
and
one
it,
that
and
he
it
himself
shows,
is willing
yeah,
to accept.
Yeah, and I've seen this used all the time. Look, here's the thing. I'll give you $1 million for the company, for my share of the company, for your share of the company,
right.
or I'll take $1 million for my share.
Right, exactly. And that's another way to do it, just simply give them an either or.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what a Golden Rule buyout clause is. If you think about it, it's the fairest thing you can possibly do, because it makes sure that no one's going to get, you know, one's going to get
And some companies actually create a funding mechanism behind that, don't they?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, which is important, because if the other person doesn't have as much money as you do, there is the temptation then to lowball the person, because you know he's not going to be able to accept to turn the offer back on you. He doesn't have funding. So mm-hmm. to make this work fairly in a situation where there's no economic equality between the two people, then you need to have some kind of a funding mechanism behind
it. And it's especially good. It can be funded with insurance in the case of a death.
That's correct, exactly.
So that
right.
you don't wind up being partners with their spouse or their children.
Correct. And by the way, you should always do that. Whenever you do this, they call it a buy-sell agreement. You know, what happens
right.
if somebody dies, becomes disabled? You always should fund that with a life insurance trust.
And this
I
is called conflict resolution prevention.
That's exactly right. So that way there's the money. So that way you don't have to dip into the cash flow of the company. Because
mm-hmm.
let's face it, if the other person gets hit by a bus, let's say that you don't disagree, the other person just gets hit by a bus, and he was a very valuable person, you need to be able to get another person on board and pay that person what he or she is worth.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have, and you can't do that if you're paying, you know, the estate of the grieving widow or widower, you know, with money out of the company.
Right.
So the life insurance
right.
trust becomes very important. In fact, you can actually do this now for disability, too. Some insurance companies offer what they call disability buy-sell insurance, where if somebody becomes disabled,
right.
the same insurance solution is there.
And I've seen that happen before. I've seen where the person couldn't contribute to the company anymore, but they still were owned the half of the business, and they had a family, and they had all these extra expenses, and it really created a problem for the health of the company. They didn't
yeah,
have
exactly.
any kind of protection there.
Yeah. No, exactly. And this
let me say this. Yeah. Folks, this is why you have to charge enough for your product. Cliff, this comes back to my big beef with small businesses about not getting enough margin for their company. And it takes a lot to capitalize a business.
Yeah, it does.
It's not just about turning the lights on and paying the rent. Capitalizing a business so that it can sustain itself, there's a lot of moving parts beyond rent and utilities and payroll.
Yeah.
And a startups don't understand this when they try to disrupt the price structure.
That's right. The undercapitalization, which is a big word, but it simply means not having enough money, is one of the three biggest reasons for small business failures. You know, I always tell my clients when they're first starting out, you know, do your best job at estimating your cost, but then double your estimate.
Right.
You know, because there's going to be surprises.
There's always something. I promise you, there'll always be somewhere to put that money.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is the thing. I'm sorry. I know this is not a... But you can't talk about conflict resolution and sustainability of a business, which is what conflict resolution does, without talking about margins, which is the heart of the company.
Correct. Yeah,
businesses don't charge enough for their product,
exactly.
and if they say, well, I got competitive pressure, well, you know what? That's because you're not delivering value.
Well,
if you delivered value, you wouldn't have competitive pressure.
Another thing, too, is sometimes you're insecure. A lot of consultants get into this bit. They go out consulting, and they're afraid they're not going
to
get
enough
business, so they undercut their competition by like 50% or something like that, which is way too good a deal. I mean, don't get me wrong. When you're first starting out, you probably should be the low-cost provider in the neighborhood. But being at 50% of where your competition is, you're just giving everybody too good a deal.
You could be making the customer think you're not worth much if you're what you're charging.
Yeah.
Quick break. Right back with Cliff Finico. SucceedingInYourBusiness.com is his website. Check it out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.